ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, Text 11. Savismayod Pulavilochino Harim Sutam Vilokyan Akadundubis Tada Krishna Vatarotsava Sambramo Sprasham Muda dvije bhyo yutam apluto gavam Savismayot pula vilochino harim Sutam vilokyan akadunda bistada Krishna Vatarotsava Sambramo Sprasham Muda Dvije Bhyo Yutam Apluto Gavam Savismayo Pula Valochino Harim Sutam Valokyanaka Dandubhistada Krishna Vatarotsava Sambramo Sprasham Muda Dvije Bhyo Yutam Apluto Gavam. Please chant.
Thank you.
Ladies? Ladies? Sutam Viluk Yanaka Dundi Bistada. Saha, he, Vasudeva, also known as Anaka Dundubi, Vismaya Utpala, Vilochana, his eyes being struck with wonder at the beautiful appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Harim, Lord Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sutam, as his son, Vilokya, observing Anakandundubi, Vasudev, Tada, all that time, Krishna Avatar Utsava, for a festival to be observed because of Krishna's appearance, Sambrahma, wishing to welcome the Lord with great respect. Aprashat took advantage by distributing Mudha with great jubilation, Vijaybhya, to the Brahmins, Ayutam, 10,000 Aplutaha, overwhelmed, surcharged, Gavam, cows. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. When Vasudev saw his extraordinary son, his eyes were struck with wonder. In transcendental jubilation, he mentally collected 10,000 cows and distributed them among the Brahmins as a transcendental festival. Please repeat. When Vasudev saw his extraordinary son, his eyes were struck with wonder. In transcendental jubilation, he mentally collected 10,000 cows and distributed them among the Brahmins as a transcendental festival. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has analyzed the wonder of Vasudev upon seeing his extraordinary child. Vasudev was shivering with wonder to see a newborn child decorated so nicely with valuable garments and gems. He could immediately understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had appeared not as an ordinary child, but in his original, fully decorated, four-handed form. The first wonder was that the Lord was not afraid to appear within the prison house of Kamsa, where Vasudeva and Devaki were interned. Second, although the Lord, the Supreme Transcendence, is all-pervading, he had appeared from the womb of Devaki. The third point of wonder, therefore, was that a child could take birth from the womb so nicely decorated. Fourth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was Vasudeva's worshipable deity, yet had taken birth as his son. For all these reasons, Vasudeva was transcendentally jubilant, and he wanted to perform a festival, as Kshatriyas do, to celebrate the birth of a child. But because of his imprisonment, he was unable to do it externally, and therefore he performed the festival within his mind. This was just as good. If one cannot externally serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can serve the Lord within one's mind, since the activities of the mind are as good as those of the other senses. This is called the non-dual or absolute situation, Advaya Jnana. People generally perform ritualistic ceremonies for the birth of a child. Why then should Vasudeva not have performed such a ceremony when the Supreme Lord appeared as his son? Omagina timidandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes. With the torchlight of knowledge, I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. So Krishna appears. The first thing I would like to try to clarify, if it's possible, at least based upon my understanding, and I assume that there may be other understanding which are welcome, but there seems to be some type of a conflict or discrepancy, because in one area it says that the Lord appears from the heart, and in another area it says he appears from the womb. So we know that the womb is generally considered the uterus in which the child or the container in which the fetus develops and is finally moves through the birth channel and then is, as we say, appears. So that's what is considered to be the womb. The heart is not generally considered the womb. On the other hand, because the very definition of a womb is, it means it's a like a container. It contains the fetus, which develops and grows. So the only way I could reconcile this is number one, is that first of all, when Krishna appeared, he did not appear as a baby that would appear or come from a womb. A baby that comes from a womb is generally very wet, is full of mucus and full of blood. Krishna had none of those, so it's obvious that he didn't come through the birth channel. Second of all, one of the acharyas, Sri Viraghava Acharya, mentions that it is forbidden for devotees to think that he actually came through the womb, through the birth channel. That is in one of the previous purports, and Srila Prabhupada supports that completely. So this is left. We are left with the understanding that since a womb is a container, the heart also is a container. The heart contains a super soul. Heart contains the Supreme Lord. However, we have to also understand here that based upon the way the child was born, the baby was born, completely dry, with a helmet, with jewels, with clothes, with adornments, and so forth, that the child was sitting in the heart in a subtle form, not a physical form. If it was physical, then he would have been wet. But being subtle, he's not wet, because he's on a different vibratory level. So when he appeared, though, he appeared in a physical form, and which shows very clearly that he was not, involved in the physical aspect of the heart, which he never is. He's there in a subtle form. And those devotees who are able to see the Supreme Lord see him in that subtle form. For example, when a doctor, medical doctors, they open up a heart, they don't see the super soul sitting in there. But he's there. It's mentioned in our scriptures. So therefore, if he's there, then he has to be in an invisible form. So that's the only point I wanted to raise in that regard. Also, I wanted to simply quote, I think, two verses back in the seventh verse, 7 to 9, I believe it is, in which it is mentioned, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart, appeared from the heart of Devaki in the dense darkness of night, like the full moon rising on the eastern horizon, because Devaki was of the same category as Krishna, transcendental. And then in the purport, it's also mentioned, thus, because he was present in full potency in Devaki's heart, he was also able to appear outside her body. So I will just leave it there. That's my understanding, that Krishna appears. As I said, when I say he appears, he just manifests outside. As the purport says, he can manifest inside, he can manifest anywhere that he wishes. So in this case, he was in the heart, and then he manifests outside the heart in his Vishnu form. And that Vishnu form, as we know, has a beautiful helmet, Vaidurya stone, stones, garlands, necklaces, bangles, silken dhoti, and he was glowing. Actually, he was quite effulgent. The way Prabhupada very beautifully expresses it in the Krishna book is that he was flashing his effulgence. In other words, it was just bright and brilliant and illuminating all around. So this is not an ordinary child being born, obviously. So it's mentioned here that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives 4 points on Vasudeva's expression at the sight of his newborn son. he evinces a combination of surprise, because this is not an ordinary child, and also a certain amount of, if not shock, to see this child with 4 arms holding a club and a chakra and a lotus and a conch shell and this effulgence. So it's a bit shocking, it's a bit surprising to see that. So, but the first wonder was that the Lord was not afraid to appear within the prison house of Kamsa. So when the Lord appeared, there was no fear in his face. He had no look of anxiety, no look of temerity, not at any of that. He was completely confident and had a smile on his face. So first Vasudeva is wondering, this Kamsa is going to come and try to kill him. How could this child appear so peaceful and so calm and so happy? So Srila Prabhupada, I think in 2 purports forward, he explains that. That was the initial expression of Vasudeva was that, I'll go to that so that we can see what he says, because it's actually very pertinent to today's verse. Here. Within Vasudeva's heart, affection for his son and knowledge of the Supreme Lord's transcendental nature both awakened. In the beginning, Vasudeva thought, such a beautiful child has been born. But now, Kamsa will come and kill him. That's his first thought. And when he understood that this was not an ordinary child, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became fearless. Why fearless? Well, if you've got the Lord in your corner, what do you have to worry about? The Lord is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Nobody can defeat him. And although the Lord appears in a very diminutive form, a little baby form, that doesn't matter. He can form in a baby form. He can appear in a deer form. He can appear in a swan form. He can appear in any form and still be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. He doesn't lose his power because of a particular form that he occupies. Of course, living entities who occupy these different forms take on the necessary mentality and physicality of those forms, but not the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is always the Supreme Lord, no matter what form he may take. So as it goes on to say here, such a beautiful child has been born, but now Kamsa will come and kill him. That's the end of the quote. But when he understood that this was not an ordinary child, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became fearless. Regarding his son as the Supreme Lord, wonderful in everything, he began offering prayers appropriate for the Supreme Lord. So the point is this, is Vasudev did not immediately understand that what the person had been born was the Supreme Lord. It was, as I said, it's a bit surprising, a bit shocking, but then gradually after a few seconds, he knew that this little baby is the Supreme Lord. And because he is the Supreme Lord, of course, he offered thousands of cows mentally, because he couldn't do that, being in prison. And he had a great, great feeling of not only admiration, not only of fearlessness, as we see, not only of great affection and great reverence, because the reverence will manifest in the form of beautiful prayers, which will be coming for the next several verses. So that's the first wonder, was that the Lord was not afraid to appear. Why should he be? He's the Supreme Lord, where Vasudeva and Devaki were interned. The second, although the Lord, the Supreme Transcendence, is all-pervading, he had appeared from the womb of Devaki. As I mentioned before, I believe that the word womb becomes synonymous with heart in this case. The third point of wonder, therefore, was that a child could take birth from the womb so nicely decorated. Fourth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was Vasudeva's worshipable deity, yet had taken birth as his son. For all these reasons, Vasudeva was transcendentally jubilant, and he wanted to perform a festival, as Kshatriyas do, to celebrate the birth of a child. So this is very telling and very instructive. At least it is for me, and I would hope for everyone here. It's instructive in the sense that when a great event, or any time we receive something very blessed, very beneficial, our feeling should be one of gladness, of one of joyfulness, happiness that the Lord has blessed me with his holy personal presence. Can anything be better than that? Can there be anything higher or bigger or greater? Wow! I mean, that should be the feeling of the devotee. Similarly, when the doors open and we see the Supreme Lord standing with the Rukmini, we see the Gornitai there and Jagannath Balarama, we're seeing such incredible power, such incredible peace, such incredible love, such incredible affection, as I just mentioned, and such incredible concern and care for us, that they're radiating this love. We may not even see that radiation. Some who may be very advanced may see it, but they're radiating their love, and it's entering our heart, and it's helping us to advance in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, a feeling of thankfulness, a feeling of gratefulness, of great gratitude has to be there. It's not just, you know, three marble statues up there, the doors open, and it's more than that. It's a great event. And when it's viewed as a great event, as something important, something valuable, something glorious, well, then we get a different effect within ourselves. Some devotees will just look and feel nothing. And other devotees who are actually feeling great gratitude and great appreciation, the Lord begins to reciprocate with that appreciation. My Lord, just to think I, who have been so sinful, so unworthy, so undeserving, have the opportunity to look at you face to face. How compassionate, how caring, how munificent you are. It's unbelievable. But that's why we call you the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. There is no one like you. And therefore, we are receiving this as a blessing, not as a due reward or something that he owes us for some little service that we perform. This is grace. This is kindness. This is sweetness. This is goodness. And we have to have that feeling that, wow, that Krishna can treat me in spite of my numerous sins, offenses, and faults and wrongs. He's still treating me with affection and love. How does someone have such feelings? And we ourselves as devotees should be praying and crying out, please help me to become more and more like you, Lord. Because if more and more people are like you, this world will automatically change. Because people will be peaceful, people will be loving, people will be caring. And as a result of that, the interaction between human beings will be different than the usual argument, getting into fights. Anyway, lots of argument, lots of criticism, lots of put downs. All those kind of things go on in this Kali Yuga. But things change when we change. You know, people are looking for changes, president or congressmen or senators and this and that. They're going to change the world. The only ones who can change the world are those who are themselves changed within. Look how many people Srila Prabhupada has helped to become spiritual because he was changed within. And he breathed, he manifested, he exuded peace and love and understanding and appreciation of what we did. So therefore, he extracted from us similar types of feelings. Unfortunately, when Prabhupada physically left, many devotees forgot the wonder that Srila Prabhupada was. They remembered him possibly in a sentimental sense, but they forgot the depth that he had, which brought out all those wonderful feelings and abilities and capabilities that we thought were never possible within us. So that's another thought in this. Another point that came to my mind is that just as Vasudeva, he gave out mentally thousands of cows, and later on when he got out of prison, he actually gave out these cows. This was not something to look, he didn't do this to look spiritual, you know, to the demigods or to the Lord. He actually was giving those cows mentally because he felt gratitude. And feeling that gratitude, he wanted to do something. He wanted to show his appreciation, not just say, oh, well, thanks, Lord. Yeah, you're a really nice guy. That's not it. It has to come from the heart. Actually, the person should be thinking, how could it be if we were in a different situation? There are people who all over the world, they are suffering so terribly, so badly. They don't even know what God is. Throughout the world, people in the mode of passion and ignorance with a little bit of goodness there, they don't know why these things happen, such as what happened over in Orlando, Florida. Somebody comes in and he opens up and begins to fire and kills 49 people and wounds 50. And the people, for the rest of their lives, they'll be in complete fearfulness that every time they walk into a place, somebody might come in and start opening up fire. I mean, that happens. It's not these things become traumatic. So why are all these things happening? Well, these are all answered in our books because people are set up karmically to receive these things. And Krishna finds somebody who wants to kill. It's not that Krishna says, go and kill these people. The person has already decided that he wants to kill. So simply Krishna puts the two together because there's a karmic reaction due to somebody. And this person, by his own free will, give these persons karma. He can't be calling devotees to go and shoot these people because they won't do it. It's not our nature to do that. We try to transform people through philosophy. We try to transform them through devotion. We try to transform them through our instruction. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Yare deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh amara agyaya guru hana daradesh. Whoever you meet, tell him about Krishna, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's philosophy. And in this way, on my order, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this world. That's our principle, that's our way of doing things. We don't walk around with guns and just shoot people. So Krishna simply puts people together and gives them their karma. So now, from this point of view, the devotee should actually be feeling, in a sense, like Vasudeva. Just as Vasudeva looked at his beautiful son and he was ecstatic, he was blissful, we, knowing that Krishna is in our heart and is taking care of us, he's guiding us, he's concerned about us, he's thoughtful about us, he's giving us not just karma as he gives to the non-devotees. Non-devotees get their karma in the sense of a judgment. 1 + 1 = 2. You did this, you get this. You did this, you get that. There is no mercy involved in this. Mercy comes to the devotees. Mercy is for those who are striving to love the Lord, to please the Lord, to serve the Lord, to honor the Lord, glorify the Lord, sacrifice to the Lord, surrender to the Lord. That's who gets mercy. That's who gets the grace. What kind of grace? The grace to have their karma altered, either lessened or increased or eradicated. Krishna gives the devotee exactly what he needs in order to make the next step up in advancement. That's the only thing that Krishna is concerned about us. So we may have some karmic reaction due to us, like an arm may get cut off because we cut somebody else's arm off in the past. But Krishna, knowing that we need the arm for our devotional service, what he does is he ends up giving us a little scratch or a little puncture on the arm. This is the way he minimizes it according to the necessity, the need, what is useful and helpful and beneficial for the devotee's forward movement in devotional love and service. This is so wonderful to have a caretaker like that. I mean, my own mother and father couldn't take care of me the way Krishna is taking care. And that's why we have to look at him as our supreme father, as our supreme mother, as our supreme friend, as our supreme lover. He is so eagerly concerned, and when we give him just a little bit of devotion, how appreciative he is. Whatever you offer in love and devotion, a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. What does it mean when he says, I will accept it? It means I will not only accept it, but take the obligation that goes with acceptance, and I will give you my blessings. And that's what he does. Krishna is so appreciative. And he never forgets the smallest bit of devotional service is appreciated and is remembered by the Lord. So we are very, very... So therefore, just as Vasudeva was giving out thousands of cows, we as devotees feeling the same type of elation or rapture or blissfulness should be thinking, what can I give out? What can I give back in appreciation to the Supreme Lord? Actually, we can never equal what we owe. But we can do something, make the effort. So we're giving out thousands and thousands of books, giving out Krishna in the form of the holy name, giving out Krishna in the form of prasadam. This is our thousands of cows, thousands of books with Krishna's name in it. Everyone who sees the name of Krishna is blessed. Everyone who sees the Hare Krishna mantra is guaranteed a human birth. Even that's a great thing, so the person hasn't become born as a hog in the next time around. Yeah, that's good. So we have this blessing which has come to us, and we have the opportunity to express our appreciation for the blessing by distributing. Just as Vasudeva, he distributed the cows, we'll distribute books, we'll distribute worship, we'll distribute glorification of the Lord, we'll distribute information about the pastimes of Krishna. We'll try to give persons who know nothing about Krishna the opportunity not only to know him and understand him, but ultimately to love him. One who knows the transitional nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this world, but attains my eternal abode. So we're here to not only help ourselves to get out of this world and go back home, back to Godhead, through the process of loving devotional service, but to help the whole world. Srila Prabhupada built a home in which the whole world could live. And that is a home of love, a home of devotion, a home of dedication to Krishna, a home of bliss, a home of peace, a home of happiness. So that's what we have been given, and therefore we should be thinking just the same way as Vasudeva did. This great sense of gratitude, this wonderful sense of appreciation, and he gave out these cows, so we give out books, we give out prasadam, and all of these things should be felt with such intense feeling, not just, here, here's a book, or here's this, here's some prasad. Wow, I've got the opportunity to share Krishna with another person. And that person will sense, even if he doesn't sense it immediately, ultimately he will be able to know Krishna. Because once Krishna gets into you and comes from a devotee to another person, a transformation immediately takes place. The forgetful living entity begins to slowly but gradually realize his relationship with Krishna. That's what it's all about. We may not see immediate benefits. A person may have a book, got it in 1976. Suddenly, you know, wife leaves him, or son or daughter dies, or so many tragedies, and suddenly the book catches his eye, opens it up, and sees, he understands, what is the basis of this serious tragedy. He gets to understand it and then looks further into it. And as he reads the book, the heart becomes slowly but surely purified. And that purification goes on through the reading, through the chanting, through the associating, and through the giving, charitably giving to movements such as this, movements that espouse, movements that glorify, movements that honor the Supreme Lord and encourage everyone and anyone, no matter who you are, no matter what your color is, no matter what your race is, no matter how ignorant or smart you are, irrespective, because Lord Chaitanya said everyone is welcome to receive the holy name. And whoever receives that name, as he says, to those who want to achieve God realization in this age, chant the holy name, chant the holy name, chant the holy name. There is no other way, no other way, no other way. This is what he said. There is other ways, but there are no other ways for the persons in the age of Kali, because the mind is too jumpy, like a monkey, like the monkeys jump. Simply the mind jumps, very little control. But through kirtan and through bhajan, all of these, purification can take place, and everyone can ultimately go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? I'm just on time today. Any questions? Any comments? No? You got 3 seconds. Yes, go ahead, Prabhu. You might want to come a little closer, because it's hard for me to hear when you're back there, unless you have the microphone. Somebody want to get the microphone? You're going to have to wait for the mic, because the people on the internet, they don't hear. Wait for the microphone. Yeah, well, he's going to have to come right here. You're going to have to sit right here, because I can't hear what you're saying, especially with a slight accent. No, no, no. Okay, go ahead.
So the Lord appeared in his form of Vishnu.
Come over here. Come here. This is not a romance, so.
The Lord appeared in his form of Vishnu from Devaki's heart. So why he didn't appear as Lord Vishnu himself?
I don't know. You'll have to ask him. He doesn't say why he didn't. Oh, but he does say this, though. First of all, Vasudeva and Devaki, they worshipped the forearm form of Vishnu. Okay? He wanted to assure... I'm sorry. He wanted to assure Devaki and Vasudeva that he is the Supreme Lord, so that they should have no fear, because they afraid Kamsa. So once they knew that this is Lord Vishnu with all the power, even though he was diminutive, small, they had really nothing to fear. And that was what I just read, that Vasudeva, as soon as after a few seconds passed, he lost all fear and he became fully reverential and peaceful and began offering prayers to the Supreme Lord. So therefore, he knew this was his worshipable Lord. And Devaki also knew this worshipable Lord. They were not worshipping Krishna, two-armed form. They were worshipping four-armed Vishnu. Okay? So that's mentioned right there. And that's my only understanding, that that once they knew that the Lord had come, their fear relaxed, and they knew that Kamsa could be defeated, since the Lord is invincible. Okay? Yeah. Thank you. Sorry to have to move you up like this. Hare Krishna. Okay, that's it. Time's up. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.